On today's program, we'll look at the 8th, 9th, and 10th commandment, and also the readings for the Monday of the 7th week of Easter. Stay tuned, because here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and we are about to start another week of this show. And I want to thank you for joining me here on Blog Talk Radio. Boy, it's been a busy couple of weeks. A lot of travel, a lot of radio interviews, and I'm grateful to be back here with you. I'm home today doing this program from my home in New Jersey. Later this week, I'll be headed on a plane to Fort Worth, Texas to give a talk. But what I'll do is, as I always do, we'll make sure you have plenty of programs to keep you company. I'm not going to leave you deserted. I hope you are doing well. Hope you had a great weekend. I thank you for all of your support, for all your comments about the program. On today's show, we are in the final week of Easter. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So what we're doing now is we're looking forward to the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly, if we've been baptized, if we've been confirmed, we already have the Holy Spirit. But it's really good that we are able to have this celebration of Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit first descended upon the early church leaders, so that we remember the importance of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's really good that we do that. So that's what we're going to focus on in the days to come. But today we will look at the Mass readings from Monday of the 7th week of Easter. And again, you will see a mention of the Holy Spirit in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And then also on the program, I will go over the 8th, 9th, and 10th commandment. We'll wrap up our look at the 10 commandments. We're going to do them kind of quickly today in our What Catholics Really Believe segment. We'll look at the 8th, 9th, and 10th commandment. And then next week, my intention is to move on to Christian prayer on our Monday segment, because that's the next topic that the Catechism covers. So that's what's in store. We'll see what happens. I want to remind you that, or I want to let you know, that tomorrow morning at 9:15 a.m., I will be appearing on Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. It's been quite a while since I did the program. I used to do it very frequently. I'll be talking about my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. And later on in the evening at 9:50 p.m., Eastern Time, I will be on the Busted Halo show. So if you get Sirius XM satellite radio, tune into the Catholic channel and listen to the Busted Halo show, and you're going to hear yours truly. It is a very lively, if you've never listened to the show, it's a very lively, up-tempo type program, and I've done it several times. It's always a good time to be on the Busted Halo show. Let's see, anything else coming up? Sunrise Morning Show, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, and then on Wednesday evening too. If you happen to be in the Philadelphia area, I will be speaking at St. Pius X Catholic School in Broomall, PA, which is in the Philadelphia suburbs. And then on Thursday, I am headed to Fort Worth to address Legatus of Fort Worth. It's always a great pleasure to speak to the various Legatus chapters. They're Catholic business leaders who do a great job around the United States. So I'm really happy to be doing that. And again, I want to thank you for all of your contributions, your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee, Amazon purchases. You're helping me to keep my apostolate going strong. And very soon you can expect a newsletter from me. I've been a little remiss in doing that. I've been very remiss in doing that. I don't want to send them out too frequently, but I'd like to send them out more frequently than I do. So that's going to be happening soon. As soon as I can find the time to do it. But I want to remind you that, please, I am in need of monthly sponsors. So if you're able to support my work and you're willing to do it, please go to followingthetruth.com and click on the donate tab and become a monthly sponsor if you would. That would really help me to keep the show on the air. And if you would also consider making a one-time donation, maybe you're a monthly sponsor and you want to make a one-time donation, that would be incredibly helpful at this point too. And if you're looking for some great coffee, check out the fine coffee offered by Mystic Monk Coffee, available on my website, followingthetruth.com, which, by the way, it's the beverage du jour today. I've got my Mystic Monk Coffee, and if you want to get some of the finest coffee that you have ever had, check out the great products offered by Mystic Monk Coffee. Finally, if you're an Amazon shopper, and the reason I do this, the reason I talk about this so frequently is because this is how we keep the program on the air, through these little, your contributions and your purchasing Mystic Monk Coffee and shopping using the Amazon link on my website. By doing these things, we're able to keep the program free of charge. So, if you are someone who shops at Amazon.com and you would kindly like to help me out, I would greatly appreciate it if you would go. Anytime you want to make a purchase from Amazon, if you just go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Amazon link right there, you'll see an Amazon image on the right-hand side of every page. If you would do that, you're going to get the same Amazon prices, but you'll help me out by doing that. So please consider that, and it's all available at followingthetruth.com. If you have any questions, just shoot me an email, gary@followingthetruth.com, and I'll get right back to you as soon as I can. And again, I don't want to downplay how much I appreciate your help. I really am incredibly grateful for your help, for your support, and for your prayers. You are the reason that we're able to continue doing this show, and I love it. I love doing it. I love talking about Jesus every night. And judging by the numbers of listeners that we have, you're enjoying it too, and that's great. It works out good for both of us. So continue to pray that we can keep this program on the air and continue to show up, and I always have a place for you here. It's great to hang out with you. Let's pray now, and then we'll look at the Mass readings for Monday of the seventh week of Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you so much for the many blessings that you shower us with each day. Thank you for allowing us to experience you, to turn to you, to encounter you every day of our lives. Thank you for the grace that you give us, which helps us to be able to get to heaven. Please help us and our families, those around us, help us all remain close to you. And please help anyone who is suffering with illness today, anyone who is anxious, anyone who might be lonely, suffering from doubt or despair, anyone battling addiction, as well as those who are dealing with financial difficulties. Father, we ask that you help them, allow them to experience your comfort. We also lift up those who are struggling with weather-related problems around the world, those who may be living in extreme poverty. We also ask, Father, for our own personal needs, whatever they may be, we present them to you, and we ask you to help us with those intentions. I give you this show. I ask you to speak through me and to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your word. We also pray for an increase in vocations to the religious life, the diaconate, the priesthood. And we also pray for an end to abortion. And we ask for all of these things, Heavenly Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her help, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If it sounds like I'm a little subdued, a little mellow today, well, there are a couple of reasons for that. Earlier today, if you follow me on Facebook, you may have seen that I was at a funeral for my engineer at Holy Spirit Radio. I do my Following the Truth program each month, and my engineer, producer, right-hand person, Kathy, passed away after suffering a stroke. And I'll tell you what, I'm sad. I'm sad to lose such a friend, and it is just such a reminder that life can be over in the blink of an eye. And I don't say that to scare anybody, but it's just something that we need to be aware of. And we need to remember that we never know when our time's up. So we want to make sure that at any moment we are ready to meet the Lord. Amen. So I did that. I came home and I cut some of the lawn. Ran into some electrical problems, so we're waiting for an electrician to come tomorrow. I have an electric mower. I'm one of the few people that has an electric mower, but I ran into some problems. I tripped a breaker, and now the breaker's not working right, so I called the electrician. He's going to be coming out. So it's been a kind of a hectic day. That is probably why I sound a little subdued, and if I don't, I certainly feel a little subdued. So, but it's great to be able to hang out with you on the program. And listen, if you need anything, always feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's take a look at these mass readings now. And I have really been enjoying, let me get that right, the mass readings for the Easter season. We have had some great daily mass readings. The readings, the first readings from the Acts of the Apostles have been really excellent. They just give us a good picture into the activities of the early church and the faith that these individuals had. Now today, we're going to continue that. We will do this for the rest of the week. Next week, we go back into ordinary time. After Pentecost, we go back into ordinary time. Today's first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" Then they answered him, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." He said, "How are you baptized?" They replied, "With the baptism of John." Paul then said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. Now, we see a good reminder of what happens when we are baptized. When we are baptized, the Holy Spirit first comes to visit us. It's the first time we receive the Holy Spirit. And we also see an example of the evangelization performed by St. Paul. He's traveling along with Apollos. Then they split up, and Paul finds some disciples. Now, this is kind of interesting because these individuals are already disciples of Jesus. But Paul strikes up a conversation with them. And this reminds us of the importance to have a dialogue when we're trying to evangelize. And what are we trying to do when we're evangelizing? We're trying to bring people closer to Jesus. We're trying to introduce people to Jesus. Even sometimes people who already know Jesus, they might already know him, they might already consider themselves Christians, but maybe they don't have a good relationship with him. Maybe they need some extra help. And so Paul asked them a question, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And what they said is powerful. I mean, it's just stunning. They said, "We never even heard of the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit?" Isn't that amazing? Good thing Paul asked that question, because what happens is we see a chain of events unfold here. And he said, "Well, how were you baptized?" Again, he's having this conversation with them. And they replied, "With the baptism of John." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." And that's an important distinction. The baptism of John the Baptist, was not a sacramental baptism. It wasn't a sacrament. Jesus had not yet instituted the sacrament of baptism. So Paul, through this conversation, realizes that these folks need to receive the Holy Spirit. So then he baptized them using a sacramental baptism. And when he laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And after he did that, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. There is no doubt that Paul was doing his job as an apostle. spreading the good news. And this is what we are all called to do. We might not be official apostles, but we're all called to spread the good news. So we can look at Paul and look at our own lives and maybe ask ourselves the question, is there anybody in my life right now who needs to know Jesus better? Is there somebody that stands out? And you may have somebody that you can think of. The guy at the office, your fellow student, your friend, somebody who may need to get to know Jesus better. So where do you start at that point? Well, where you start is you pray. You pray for them, and you pray and ask the Lord to continue to reach out to them and pray that they may respond, right? And that's the first step. You pray for them, and you continue to pray for them. And another really good prayer would be, Lord, please let me know how I can best reach this person. We all have people in our lives who obviously need to know Christ better. I mean, certainly everybody needs to get to know Christ better, but there are certain people that come to mind when we look around and we think, yeah, let's pick out one person tonight. Let's start with one person, and let's make sure we pray for that person and pray for the opportunity to be able to evangelize. Pray for that door to be open. You don't necessarily have to go in and start evangelizing without being invited. You don't necessarily have to do that. Because sometimes you're going to turn people off by doing that. And if you do it, it's fine. But just make sure that you're not too preachy, if you know what I mean. Because a lot of people get turned off by that. Use your own personal examples. Well, listen, this is something that I read. I read this good article about the Catholic faith or something, and that often can affect people. But just pray for the opening. Pray for the opening, and you'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will do in your life, and then be ready. Okay, the responsorial psalm, Psalm 68, sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. God arises. His enemies are scattered, and those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so are they driven, as wax melts before the fire. But the just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name. Whose name is the Lord? The father of orphans and the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. The just rejoice and exult before God. Sing to God. Chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. Are we rejoicing? You know, we're especially since we're still in the Easter season, are we rejoicing and are we thankful to the Lord for his many blessings? Let's pray for the grace to better appreciate the blessings that the Lord gives to us every day. The gospel is John chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home. And you will leave me alone, but I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world." And if you notice here, well, what's happening is the Lord is talking to his disciples, who are getting a little uncomfortable, they're getting a little worried, they're a little anxious, and he's telling them that the hour is coming when you are going to be seriously tested. And he's telling them this so that they might have peace, knowing that he's going to be with them. And I think that's the most powerful aspect of this message. It's the Lord telling us, guys, you're going to have problems in life. Life is not going to be problem-free. However, I have overcome the world. I'm bigger than your problems. So therefore, don't panic. And I like that realistic approach. I think that's one of the great things about Jesus and the way he teaches. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He tells it like it is. And furthermore, if anyone tries to tell you that you will not have problems in life, and if you get to know the Lord better and have greater faith, all of your problems will go away. Well, that certainly can't be supported by Scripture, because Scripture obviously tells us that there will be problems in life. However, we can still experience peace. Why? Because the Lord's peace is a supernatural peace. It's bigger than the problems that we face. So I like the little dose of realism. You have the help of the Holy Spirit to get you by. And if you stick with the Lord, get to know Him and really develop this ability to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get a lot of peace in your life. So I would recommend that you continue to make this your prayer for, especially as we're heading into Pentecost, right, to ask for the grace to better respond, to hear and respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because a lot of times, you ever get a feeling that you should do something or say something, and then you say, well, I can't really do that. That could very well be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a very powerful influence. But we can ignore His prompting. And if we do that, we're going to really miss out on a lot. All right, let's talk now for the remainder of the show. I want to finish up the 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments. And every Monday, in case you're a new listener to the program, every Monday I do a feature called What Catholics Really Believe, and I talk about some aspect of our Catholic faith. Why? Because Christ founded a church. He founded the Catholic Church, and if you and I really want to get to know Christ better, we need to understand the teachings of His church. And what I've been using, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a great resource, but it's a little too wordy sometimes for the purposes of this show. Fortunately, there is a document put out by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's called the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What it is the Catechism translated into question and answer format. It's really, really good. It's a good little book, so I recommend you get yourself a catechism. I really do. I strongly recommend you have a catechism. Once you begin to read it, and we'll do more about it on the program as time goes on, once you begin to read it, you're really going to fall in love with it, and it will help you to get to know Jesus better. But the Compendium is also a great document. You can get that from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. USCCB.org is their website. And I believe, I'm not 100% positive, that you might be able to get it from Amazon.com too. But make sure you get yourself a copy of the Catechism and the Compendium of the Catechism. We need to know these teachings, not only so that we can defend our faith when other people ask questions, but so that we get to know Jesus better. And that's really why, that's what drives us. That's why we want to learn our faith better. We want to get to know Jesus better. Okay, so let's briefly talk. The 8th commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Essentially, what is forbidden by the 8th commandment? False witness, perjury, and lying. Also, rash judgment, slander, defamation, and calumny. To a lesser extent, flattery, adulation, or complacence, especially if directed to serious sins or toward the achievement of illicit advantages. We are required, morally required, as followers of Christ, to tell the truth. That is something that we really should never forget about. We need to tell the truth. Now, is there an occasion where it's not necessary to tell the truth? Sorry, I'm just adjusting my headphones here. Is there an occasion where it's not necessary to tell the truth? Well, it is possible that if you are in a situation where somebody doesn't have any right to know the truth, for example, how much money do you get paid? How much are you getting paid? What's your paycheck, right? A coworker asking you that. Well, that's none of their business. There's no moral obligation for you to tell them the truth. You can't morally make up a lie and give them a different figure. I mean, morally, you're not allowed to tell a lie, even though you might think you're justified. What you can say, though, is, in a nice way, wouldn't you like to know? Or yeah, or too much, or too little, or something. Come up with some answer. I don't know if that's a good example. There are much more serious situations than that one. But we can't tell a lie, right? We are morally obliged to tell the truth. But there are times when you can withhold the truth for a good reason, if somebody doesn't have the right to know. And one of the examples that always comes up is during World War II, when the Nazis were going door to door looking for Jewish individuals who may have been in hiding. Somebody could come to the door, and the person who answers it, a German person who answered it, could say, "Why would you think that I would be hiding any Jews here?" Or something to that effect. In other words, they don't lie, but for a greater good, they withhold the truth because they know something bad can happen. There are cases where it is possible to withhold the truth, but there's always some sort of a sin involved. Could even be a venial sin if we tell a lie. Tell the truth. Sometimes it can be difficult, but you'll always be safe by telling the truth, right? All right, the ninth commandment, and some of these are very straightforward. That's why I'm covering them quickly today. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. The ninth commandment requires that one overcome carnal concupiscence in thought and in desire. The ninth commandment forbids cultivating thoughts and desires connected to actions forbidden by the sixth commandment. This has to do with purity of heart. You cannot covet your neighbor's wife. In other words, you got to have custody of your eyes and your mind, your thoughts. Even if you don't do something physically, you can't in your mind think impure thoughts about somebody else. Doesn't have to be somebody else's wife, about another person. Okay, and that's a really serious one. Some of these sins against impurity, they can often be in the mortal sin category, which are really, really serious. And the final commandment, the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's possessions. This commandment, which completes the preceding commandment, requires an interior attitude of respect for the property of others and forbids greed, unbridled covetousness for the goods of others, and envy, which is the sadness one experiences at the sight of another's goods. We don't want to be in a position where we are envious of what other people have. And that could very easily happen. We can get we can go overboard in becoming envious of what other people have, especially if it's something you want. Keep in mind, these are commandments. These are serious. We want to really take these to heart. We don't want to blow them off as being unimportant. They are very important. And what do we do? How could we overcome some of these issues? We could pray for the grace to overcome them. Make sure you do that. Make sure you pray for the grace to overcome some of these desires, some of this envy. We all struggle with envy at times. Some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree, but we all can struggle with envy at times. It's something that needs to be worked at. It's something that needs to, we need to have grace and correspond with that grace in order to overcome it. But it's something that is definitely worth working on, especially if you are someone who is really prone to this. So pray for the grace to be able to live out these commandments and always obey them, okay? And if you mess up, thank God we have the sacrament of confession. It's a gift. He gave us a gift. Make sure you frequent the sacrament of confession frequently. Frequent the sacrament frequently. That's not what a good writer would do. A good writer wouldn't use the same word twice in the same sentence, but that's what I did. Listen, I am just about out of time. I want to thank you for tuning into the show. Remember, if you get a chance, listen to Catholic Connection tomorrow with Teresa Tomeo on the EWTN Radio Network, and you're going to hear yours truly talking about his new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. If there's anything that I can do for you, always, always feel free to contact me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. God willing, we will see you back here tomorrow night. Have yourself a wonderful night. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, may God bless you.